C1P. Number 8B.
We come to the next subject, spirit. Here she takes up another aspect, saying still the same, namely that being remains untouched. Here, untouched by the opposite of spirit. What is the opposite of spirit? We always know the opposite of spirit is matter, materialism. Here she takes as an example, she takes food. It isn't here that she is talking about food, really, but here she is talking about that the counterfeit of spirit, like matter, cannot touch the substance of being. And food is only one example that can symbolize this law. So the substance of being is spirit. We have therefore to see that what we have established in the second part as knowing the truth, that is a spiritual substance. Our whole treatment is a spiritual substance, and therefore that spiritual substance can never be touched by something that is material. Let us consider the subtones here. Again, we have three subtones. As in the days of creation, you have perhaps noticed up to this point already that the third part is laid out in the days of creation order. Those who have had that teaching of the 7 days of creation, like we have been considering last week in the syllabus 3, know that the writers of the 7 days of creation, and therefore also Mrs. Eddy's exegesis of the 7 days of creation, follow, first of all, the word order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, but that that the Bible develops that subject in different numbers of subtones, namely mind in three subtones the first day, then the second day of creation in three subtones, then the third day in five subtones, the fourth day in five subtones, then the fifth day in four subtones, then the sixth day in seven subtones, and the seventh day in two subtones. And this is what we call the days of creation layout. And Mrs. Eddy uses quite often this layout. Here, in the third part, she follows exactly that layout. We had under the first subject three subtones, and now we are on the second subject of spirit with three subtones, and so on. I'm not going to explain why here the layout is different than in the second part, why we have only this amount of subtones. That was the great subject which we were dealing with for a whole day or two last week in the syllabus class. So here, those who don't know why just have to accept it as what Mrs. Eddy presents here. How does Mrs. Eddy now explain how the substance of being, which is spirit, is untouched by matter? In the first subtone of life, she says, life sustains itself spiritually. And you get at once the sense of mind that sustains and maintains. So life sustains itself spiritually. Whereas material health theories, the counterfeit of spirit, material, can neither maintain, only mind can maintain, the opposite cannot maintain, nor destroy life. So it remains untouched. Can you see that the life sustenance remains untouched by material health theories. She reasoned it like this, and you can easily see that she's speaking about the spiritual, because, and about sustenance and so on. The side notes are sustenance, spiritual, God sustains men. So it's all about that sense of sustenance and maintenance of mind. She says that material health theories are actually self-contradictory. So they are kingdom divided against itself, a great tone of the opposite of spirit. Spirit is the only. The moment you have the opposite of the only, you have a kingdom divided against itself. And these material theories are kingdom divided against itself, because all these theories tell us a contradiction, namely that food can be the nutriment of life, but it can also destroy life. Therefore, according to the belief, a deficiency or an excess can destroy life, so it can destroy life either by a quality or a quantity, whereas fundamentally it should sustain life. Therefore, what is the divine fact about it? So she said, food does not affect the absolute life of man, because God is our life. So the very first thing we have to see is that food, namely one way or one manifestation or one form, let's say one form of matter, can never in any way really destroy life, that life remains untouched by matter. But naturally, she always brings in a lot of common sense in the chapter on practice. She says, but naturally it would be foolish to stop eating until we have a clearer comprehension of the living spirit. I'm so glad that she is so normal and goes always back to normality, because we know so well that when we introduce Christian Science to a student and tell him that really life is indestructible and that life is spirit and that life is not material, the very first thing he wants to demonstrate is that he has no more to eat and to drink and no more to sleep. I always remember I had once a student, he came up and said, you know, I have read that Mrs. Eddy says that sleep is sin. I don't know where he got it. Perhaps she said so, I don't know. Anyway, she always had a good hours, many hours good sleep. So he said, you know, Max, Mrs. Eddy says sleep is sin. I don't want to sin. So I made up my mind no more to sleep. And he spent most of the night actually always reading and so on. But he always slept right through my classes. So I'm glad that Mrs. Eddy puts always some kind of common sense into people and say, well, to stop eating and drinking is not the first thing you have to demonstrate. I think the first thing is to demonstrate that food doesn't affect your health and that you can really have a good night's sleep. I think that's much better to demonstrate at first. But she says, naturally, in the day of understanding, we shall neither eat to live nor live to eat. So she makes that very clear, that there are steps and stages of progress and that we should not start at the end, but we should start at the beginning, that we should not take up really the demonstration where Jesus left, but really to start at the beginning and see that we grow in the understanding. Isn't it funny? You must have noticed that too, that the beginners, they always go into the extreme. They always come along and say, why then do we have to eat? Why do we have then to sleep and to drink? Why can't we walk over the water? I'm glad I don't have to walk over the water. It's a long distance, you know, from Europe to America to walk over the water. I prefer to fly. Yeah. So, the main thing is what we have to demonstrate first, as she says here, that really material health theories do not really affect our true life, and that we see that. As a subtone of spirit, the epitome here reads that material conditions, like food is only an example, like food, cannot disturb soul, cannot touch, cannot disturb the harmonious functions of mind and body. So again, we have to see that matter and materialism cannot disturb the harmonious functions. It says, matter does not inform you that food is digested. Nor does matter inform you of bodily derangement. You think so. But actually it is not so. It is mortal mind that does the informing. Can you see her general line or general great proposition in the whole chapter is always, we never have to deal with anything else but with mortal mind. She reduces actually every discord, every kind of discord, always to mortal mind. That is really the point where we have to correct something. So again, it is mortal mind that tells us if we have digested the food well or not well. And therefore, because it is mortal mind that tells us that story, she says, you can correct it. We always correct mortal mind with the divine mind. Therefore, she says, with the divine mind, we can control the belief, and by controlling the belief, we control the material condition. So, can we see what she wants to show? Is spirit of spirit, she wants to say, look here, matter cannot disturb, cannot disorder the normal function of your body, can bring no disorder in your bodily functions. It's only a mortal mind belief that it can do so. We establish food theories, as it says, if you eat too quickly, or if you eat too much, or if you eat too hastily, or if you read a book while you are eating, and so on, then you don't digest your food properly, and so on. There are a lot of these kinds of theories. I always read while I'm eating. That's a nice time I can read my paper. And it never does anything. So, a soul, she says, the self-contradictory views of materialists must be rebuked. Here you get the sense of soul of rebuking. As you see, here rebuking is naturally the subtone of soul, not that main tone of life and soul. Is that clear? This is now the subtone, what we do with these self-contradictory material theories. We rebuke them. What is her way, line of reasoning? She says, she speaks about dietetic, is that right, pronunciation, dietetic theories. She says they are all materialistic and they are contradictory. They are a kingdom divided against itself. Again, shows that all these material health theories, we have to be careful that they base themselves on contradictions. Namely, that food sustains the life of men, and also that food can kill men. She repeats that from above. But you said food cannot be both supporting human life and be inimical to existence. See, that's why she says these health theories are contradictory, because they say they can do both. They can sustain life and that they can kill life. Therefore, now this is the conclusion of soul, spirit of soul. Therefore, this false reasoning must be rebuked. Soul always rebukes. Soul is always that which rejects. And if we rebuke that, this changes sickness into a healthy state. Yeah, that's the whole tone of spirit. Let's just try to simplify it again and see what she really wants to bring out. She wants to bring out what? She wants to say, you know, your being, life, is spirit, is of spiritual substance. That's the main tone of spirit. So, the substance of our being is spirit. All right. And if we see that, we free ourselves really from any kind of materialism. Or you can say that if I see that, I'm free from any materialistic theory, then that all the material theories can no more play a trick on me. I'm then untouched by all material theories. How does she show that through those three subtones? She would show, you see, then the material theories can no more maintain and sustain your health, nor destroy it. That's mind, maintaining and sustaining. Then these material theories, as spirit, can no more bring any disorder into your body. They cannot derange your health, bring disorder in your body. And therefore, as soul, she says, therefore, rebuke them. Soul rebukes. Rebuke within your mind all these material theories, and then you free yourself from it. So that's how we remain untouched by food, by matter, by materialism. Yes. So that's spirit. We go to the next one, soul. What is here the main subject? The epitome reads, the supremacy of being. Can you hear soul? The supremacy of being. Soul is always supreme. Is the rule of soul. You see, the rule is that the higher governs the lower. That's the rule of soul. That, therefore, the divine is supreme over the material. That's the supremacy of being. And therefore, the higher governing the lower is the rule of soul. And this supremacy of being as the rule of soul remains always untouched by the counterfeit of soul, namely by bodily, corporeal conditions. The body cannot control soul. She here reverses now really the old concept that even the Romans, the Latin people had, that they always said in a healthy body there can be a healthy soul. I mean, she said he turned it upside down and said, with a healthy soul you can have a healthy body. And so here she says the higher governs the lower, soul governs the body, and therefore soul remains always untouched by any corporeal condition. The very first subtone of mind which she takes up is really is this, the epitome reads like this. Knowing God's law, this is mind, that if we know God's law, then we must dispute and dismiss the illegitimate testimony of the material senses. Can you hear so? To dismiss, to dispute the illegitimate testimony of the material senses. So mind at first says that in the law of God, in the law of mind, we must know that we have to reject or dismiss really the testimony of the physical sense. That's the very first point we always have to do, to reject it, to dismiss it. Because the testimony of the physical senses never tell us anything about the law of God. Never. Yes. All right. How does she explain it? She brings in first the tone of mind and says, it is our ignorance of God which produces discord. See, again, she starts out always at, when she goes to mind, she always begins to start about the cause. To say, it is not really that a discord is anything by itself, it always starts in mortal mind in ignorance. We name mortal opinions law. This is a big point, that we are always thinking that what the human mind has established as law is actually not a law. It's our concept of a law, and not the law of God. We have no law of God to support the necessity of sin and disease. Therefore, we know that God is not the author of sin and disease. So she starts out with that sense of mind that we really should know God's law and should know that that God's law has never established anything that is of the nature of disease. So she goes to soul, because we are in the main tone of soul, and says, therefore, dispute the testimony of the material senses with divine science. You get the sense that you have to dispute it. Let your higher sense of justice destroy the false process of mortal opinions. So instead of mortal opinions, those opinions which we have called laws, they should be replaced by a higher sense. You get really souls, the superiority of soul, to rise higher. Again, yes, those rules agree with thine adversary quickly. How should you agree quickly? Namely, suffer no claim of sin and disease to grow upon the thought. Can you hear it? Still mind. It's opinion and thought. Don't let any false concept grow on your thought. Dismiss it as illegitimate. Deny that necessity. So, can you hear here, mind, that she gives here now the rule of soul? You know, all over these pages here, I think she gives over 30 rules for the treatment of disease, or for Christian Science. In this passage on soul, you find all the rules. Whenever you feel you would like to know what are the rules of soul, what does Mrs. understand under the rules of soul, just go to this very subject here in soul. Here she gives those rules. Here we have first on the mind, really the rules of soul from the point of view of mind, which says, dismiss it in your thought. Do something in your mentality. Do something. Because after all, disease has its cause in your opinions, and you have made laws, and you have made really destructive laws, and you have made laws of disease. Therefore, you must start again with your own mentality. Therefore, dismiss it from your thought. put it out of your thought, reject it out of your thought, suffer no claim, really, to draw upon your thought. Can you see? It's all about ejecting. Can you say ejecting? Throwing it out. Ejecting it from our thinking. So that's one great rule. In order that these so-called claims cannot really get hold of us, so that we rule them out. Then we come to the subtone of spirit. The epitome reads here, in the conscious strength of spirit, we must meet the pleas of disease with powerful mental opposition. Now you hear at once the tone of spirit that your rule is to make opposition to the false claims. Opposition is spirit because spirit is the only, and therefore it has no opposite, and therefore make opposition to the claim that there is an opposite. So, she says, how do we deal with the approaching symptoms of disease, with the incipient stages of disease? What shall we do? And her answer is, again, agree to disagree. See, first in mind, she said, agree with thine adversary quickly. That's mind. Now she says, agree to disagree. That's spirit. You don't accept any opposite view. Blotting out the images of mortal thought. Now you blot them out. Meeting disease with what? With powerful mental opposition. With an opposition. How do you meet disease? By rising in the conscious strength of the spirit of truth. Can you hear again the rule of soul? Our spirit. To rise, soul. That's the rule of soul, the supremacy of soul. To rise in the conscious strength. That's your rule of spirit. In the conscious strength of the spirit of truth. So you have here the rules of soul as spirit. To oppose powerfully and rise above in the spirit of truth. Yes? So that we remain absolutely untouched by the approaching symptoms of the disease and with the incipient stages of disease. All right.